This recording, England 100, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onuroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. The area was much nearer for her than, and more to her liking. Even so, her first morning she felt stressed. She had a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising, because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her right side. On her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. Well, this is a very long journey, actually. If you start from the beginning, I was born in Plymouth, or in Devonport as it was then known, and brought up in a very working class family. And it wasn't long before the war came. And that was a terrible time because my school friends were killed. The home I lived in was bombed. All in all, it's not full of happy memories. And I became a draftsman and I worked as a draftsman for a time. But not satisfied with that, I then opted to go to South Africa. Now, there's a long story attached to that. My grandfather was South African. He was a child of 1820 settlers. My mother instilled on me her wish to be reunited with her family, who, to a large extent, were Afrikaans-speaking, believe it or not. Plymouth gin. It's the best gin you can get. Gin was always applied to ships like Sir Francis Drake and so on, because it has a very high alcohol content, which is sufficient for setting off the gunpowder. So it's about 60-some percent or some ridiculous figure. It's very good for setting off gunpowder. It's also very good for setting off people, actually. And as you can probably tell, I've had a couple. So there we are. And I found it just this year. It's the first time I found it, and I hate to tell you, it's 50 rand a bottle. But it brings back so many memories. There's no gin like Plymouth gin. It has its own flavour. It's not like any other gin whatsoever.